and you want her to not have any pain, and just she stayed there the last three nights over at the hospital. So I don't think she slept at home since Wednesday. So let's lift up Thelma and lift up Janet today. Father, we just love you. Thank you for Thelma today. We ask you to, Father, we thank you for the surgery that was done. Her hip is repaired. It is solidly repaired. Lord God, there is pain involved, and we just ask you in Jesus' name to help the doctors and the nurses, and just to touch Thelma, and you manage that pain and reduce it. Father, we pray that she will, when she starts therapy, physical therapy, to get up on that thing, to begin to walk. And Father, we thank you that she will be able to be restored to being able to get around. At 90 years old, that's a lot. So, but Father, we thank you that you are our helper. And we pray for Janet that as she is caring for her mom, that you just give her peace, give her rest. And Father, we pray that, thank you for all the help that we've had. Thank you for Susie being over there and helping with that, and all of the other folks who have helped out. Father, we just ask you for your grace and your mercy to help her in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. Did you turn over to Psalm 91? I'm going to talk about how to live worry-free. It sounds like somebody's sermon title, doesn't it? But I want you to live, God wants you to live worry-free. Amen. Jesus said in John 16:33, I could go back, I always go back to the same scriptures all the time because they encourage me. Amen. You need to go to the scriptures because they encourage you, right? I mean, you know, it's these things that you know, the ones that you see in your mind. If they're not on your wall at home, they should be. But in your mind, you've got these particular scriptures that are plastered on the wall of your mind. You know, says Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. There's a but in there. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I mean, you can make yourself up a song on that one. Okay? You know, I can't sing. Well, you can sing to yourself. Sing in the shower. You know, sing while you're getting ready for them in the morning. God wants you to have these thoughts in your mind. These, because you, with your eyes, you see trouble. With your eyes, the world is a mess, isn't it? I mean, you know, and it looks like it's a bigger, people thought it was a mess back in the 60s. Well, heck, it's a bigger mess now. Amen. People just go nuts. People go crazy, you know, thinking there's five genders. Oh, was it 87? Sorry, it was 87 genders, you know. And when God said there's two, God made them male and female. And the fact is, God made them. You take the first three words, God made them. So if God made them, that's how they are, if that's how God made them. Amen. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that to be ugly and mean, and you know, somebody's having difficulty trying to figure their life out. It's because they were never taught the Word of God. They were never taught the Word of God. When you don't get taught the Word of God from the outset, and you start, somebody shoves you out in the world, and shoves you out into society, you don't know what's what. You know, kids don't know what's what. Well, I'm just going to let them decide what they are. No, you're not going to do that. You have to tell them what things are. God said from the very beginning, He said, eat of that, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, just don't eat of that one. That would be like, okay, don't touch that poison ivy, three leaves. You know, what's the thing on poison ivy, right? Three leaves or something? What is it? Leaves of three, leave it be. Well, you got to teach kids that, right? You got to teach kids not to, don't touch that. Don't go there, don't do that. God loves you. He created a world, and then He told you how to live in it. Amen. Now, we messed up, so He told us, then He created a means by which we might be saved. He sent Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He became flesh and dwelt among us, John chapter 1. So when He dwelt among us, Then he said, you believe in him and his sacrifice, his death, burial, and resurrection, and you will be saved. That is, from your errors, from your mistakes, from those things that you messed up, from where you messed up the Word of God. He is doing, boy, I just keep having more kids show up. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so God, and they're all on the front row. Praise the Lord. Made room for them. So God has told you what to do to get by in this world is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all Monty's teaching on at the homeless shelter. People that got to the homeless shelter, they kind of got down to the bottom and said, okay, well, here you're here at the bottom. Well, thank God you're here because I'm here too, and I'm here to tell you here's how you can increase, you know, not because I give you, you know, a $50 bill. You don't get increased because I give you a $50 bill. You just spend the bill and be back here. You'll be back in the homeless shelter. God says that He wants you, He is going to bless you, He is going to prosper you, and He is going to care for you, and He is going to show you His salvation. Now let's look over at Psalm 91 because it's going to tell you some things you need to know. All right? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, if you dwell in the secret place, where's the secret place? In the presence of God. Jesus said over in Matthew that if you go into your closet, go into your closet and pray to the Lord. What's a closet? Well, it's a place that you're alone by yourself, just you and God. All right? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, okay, if you make your dwelling place there, if you live there, doesn't mean you have to stay there, you know, all day long, but when you walk out of there, you're still in the secret place of the Most High. You still walk with the living God and the Spirit of God in you and with you. He is with you. When you become born again, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. He lives somewhere right here, just right in the middle of you. He lives on the inside of you. You carry Him with you. In John chapter 20, when Jesus rose from the dead, He came in among them in the upper room, and He appeared among them. This is after He had shown up to these guys down in the town of Emmaus. He had walked with them. And then the guys from Emmaus recognized Him as Jesus as He broke the bread. And then Jesus vanished out of their sight. Well, that's pretty impressive. So He disappeared. And these guys ran back to town 7 miles after dark. They ran back to town. All of a sudden, get to the dum dum dum, knock on the door. Hey, let us in. And they come in huffing and puffing. And, you know, hey, we saw the Lord. Well, all of a sudden, Jesus, boop, He just shows up there. The same as He disappeared from the Emmaus room, He shows up in that room. All of a sudden, He was just there. And He says, peace be unto you. Then He breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, that was the night of His resurrection. And I believe they received the Holy Spirit at that time. They received the Holy Spirit. I mean, did He say receive the Holy Spirit tomorrow? He actually breathed on them. The word Spirit means breath. And they received the Holy Spirit. So they received the Holy Spirit that night. Then later, after 40 days, you know, when He's fixing to ascend to the Father, He had taught them for 40 days. And then He said, but don't leave town until you be endued with power. For the Holy Spirit is going to, well, I thought we got the Holy Spirit. But He said, wait until you be endued with power from on high. So they were waiting for the power of God to come, but Jesus had already imparted to them the Holy Spirit. He'd already imparted to them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was already living within them. I told you this back on Pentecost, that I believe that that's when Jesus taught them for 40 days, they had the Holy Spirit already revealing to them the things that they could not get, they could not understand. He talked about that at the night of at the Last Supper. He said, I have many things to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit is come, He will lead you into all truth. Then after His resurrection, He breathes on them, and there's that Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? You receive Jesus as your Savior. You receive Jesus. You say, Father, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He is forgiven. He died for my sin. He rose again. And I have died with Him. And I am risen with Him. I am risen with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in this flesh, this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, you meditate on this whole scenario that you are indwelt by the living God. You're not what you were before. You're not what you were before. And He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, over in Psalm 91, David says this, David's saying this, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So you're dwelling in the secret place and you abide, that is, you remain under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, His presence is always with you. No matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm going, no matter what bad job I'm in, no matter what crummy day I'm having, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How do you get out? How do you live worry-free? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You make that your meditation, right? You make this, consider my, give ear to my prayer, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice you will hear. How many know God hears your voice? God hears your voice. It's not just hitting the ceiling. Well, my prayers just seem to be hitting the ceiling. They're not. God hears every prayer you pray. Amen. You have to have understanding that God is always hearing you. God is always, He's always hearing you. He's your Father. Over in Matthew, he multiple times, He's talking to the Jews in the Sermon on the Mount, and He's talking about that your Father in heaven, when you pray, will reward thee openly. Your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven. They didn't hear that. They weren't used to hearing that. They were used to hearing big bad God who doesn't like you and He's mad at you all the time. It's not true. Say it's not true. Oh, amen. He's not mad at me. God likes me. He loves me. He sent Jesus to die for me and so that I could live with Him. He wants me to move in with Him. You know, we're about to have Mom move in with us. And we love Mom, but there might be some work, you know, involved. How many know that when you move in with God, you're a lot of work? Huh? Amen. You're a lot of work, Paul. You're a lot of work. Praise God. But God loves you. He loves you in His presence. How many know changing diapers is a lot of work? Amen. Some men don't change diapers. Real men, real grandpas change diapers. Amen. Praise God. Lots of them. Praise the Lord. Hear that, Danny? You ever changed a diaper? Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm being ugly because I know men who haven't, but that's okay. God gives them other gifts, I suppose. He that dwelleth in the secret place. We're not going to get very far today. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Everybody say shall. Woo! Shall is like will. Absolutely. No questions. Amen. So you are living, and the reason I'm saying all this stuff is I want you to meditate on this. That is, meditation is not Eastern. Meditation is Bible. Meditation is think about it. Roll it over. chew it. Actually, the word meditation is the Greek word for meditation is metanoia, which means to chew, like gum or a cow or something. You know, cow chewing his cud. How many know what a cow does? Cow chews his cud, swallows it, and then what happens? Comes back, and you enjoy it again. He enjoys it again. Chews it up. The cow's got four stomachs. You've got to bring it up and chew it four times. It makes good milk later. So you chew it, swallow it, bring it back up, chew it again, swallow it. So that's what you're doing with the Word of God. You are meditating on the Word of God. You're constantly bringing it back and chewing it some more. Chewing it some more. Enjoying it. Because God, when you read the Bible, listen, you're not reading just for information. You're not just reading for history. Or you're not just reading even for doctrine. You're reading the Word of God, the Bible, for relationship. Okay? You're reading the Bible for relationship with God. You have now the Holy Spirit in you if you've been born again. And again, being born again is as simple as expressing your belief that Jesus Christ has died for you and that God loves you. That's it. You know, it's not in, out, based on your sins or not sins. It's not. It's just based on God loves me, and He likes having me around, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins. My sins are all forgiven, past, present, and future. And He will empower me to not sin more most of the time. Granted, you fall into it, because you still got one of these. And your flesh actually still has a propensity to sin. The Scripture said Jesus was tempted in every way like we were, yet He did not sin. Okay? So, now, back to the fact that you are getting you born again so that you can now know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as you read the Word. And you may or may not get it every time. You may or may not get it. What does that mean? You need to read something. You know, Jesus says, I am the door. What is that? So you read the Scripture and you let the Holy Spirit manifest it to you. You manifest, that means show it to you. Too much Bible talk, right? Too much King James talk. You let the Bible, let God show you what that means. Let God show it. Read it again. I read it last week. Read it again. Read it again. And let the Holy Spirit show you what He is showing you. Right? Again, all of the things that are going on in the world. God says, I love you. I'm going to take care of you. Amen. Let's read some scripture here. I'm not going to read all of Psalm 91, but I'm going to read some more. Psalm 27. Where'd it go? The Lord is my light and my... You can write these down. You'd probably be better off doing it that way. Okay? Psalm 91, Psalm 27. Get your phone out and you can type them in there in a note. That's what I would do if you don't have a pen in your pocket and a piece of paper. How many know you can always take notes on your... Put your notes on your phone? Thank you, Addie. Thank you. So the Lord is my light. This is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not... Wow. My heart shall not fear. How many of you, that's the first thing that fears is your heart. You're just like, oh, maybe it's your head, but it's your heart. Your inner man, your soul, the part of you that relates to this world and sees what's coming, like I did when I saw the back of that gravel truck coming right at me from about where Monty's sitting. It was even closer. I think it's more like this. And You know, my heart shall not fear. I just said, this is happening. And bam, you know. Somehow God saved me. The people ran out to look at the dead guy. There's a good bunch of guys that ran out of this office that wherever this truck was pulling in, and they ran out of the office. I know they were doing that. They were coming to see the dead guy. They come and stared in the window. And I said, hi, can you open the door? You know, so they thought I was dead. I should have been. It was a mess. That was awful. I can show you the picture. What's left of that car. Esther, you remember that? I called Esther. I called, couldn't get a hold of Janet. I called Esther. Said, I had an accident. I'm getting in the ambulance, you know. The engine did not get in my lap. It actually moved over here. It should have been in my lap, but it didn't. And then Esther gets a hold of Janet. Well, is he okay? Yeah. Well, he's in the ambulance. And Janet's like, in the ambulance? So it wasn't sounding any better, you know. And I think I have a bruise, yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's chill. He's just going to be out of there in like 2 seconds.
Well, then they had to operate on my wrist. That's all that hurt. Okay. My wrist was up in the air. I think it must have praising the Lord or something. I think the airbag hit the wrist is what happened to it. Anyway. So, though an host should encamp against me, it was like a host encamping against me, my heart shall not fear. So I knew this was happening, but really I did not have fear. I was busy just hitting the back of the truck, you know. So, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Could you imagine being confident when things are coming against you? Verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 27, 1 through 4. Write that one down. Psalm 27. Yeah, I see all those pencils moving. Psalm 27, 1 through 4. All right? So, over in Isaiah 26, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep him, talking to God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, focused on you, Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So, my mind is on the Lord. My mind is confident. I'm confident that I'm with him. How do you stay worry-free? Keep your mind on him. Amen. Because, see, now you have all kinds of trouble coming your way. Remember, Jesus said it. It was almost like a promise. You know, in the world, you're going to have trouble. No, it was just a fact. He was actually letting you know that, you know, I know, in the world you have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. People ask me, you know, how do you stay, you know, in perfect peace? People kind of recognize it also in you. Do you know that? People recognize when you're at peace when everything else is shaking. It was like Jesus in the boat, you know, all the rest. Jesus, the boat is sinking, we're dying. You know, I said, why are you afraid? I'm in your boat. See, Jesus is in your boat, don't be afraid. But you have to meditate on that, know that, be confident in that, right? So the Word of God is important for you to not have doctrine, not have, it's good for instruction. It's good for doctrine. Timothy tells you that. But listen, I'm telling you, read the Word constantly. Let it flow in your mind. You're hearing the voice of God because the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. He is comforting you. He is walking with you. You know He is with you. Amen? This is how you walk in the world. This is how Jesus walked in the world. He spent time in the presence of God, didn't he? He was always off praying somewhere. He was always off alone with the Lord somewhere. It was Jesus. Why does he need to be with God? He's God himself. As a man, he emptied himself and became a man. He did not have he wasn't operating as in the power of, big G God Almighty. He was operating as a man. What happened when John baptized him? What came down? Who came down? Holy Spirit came down upon him. He was a man. He did not do anything. He did no mighty works. He wasn't healing birds when he was 12. Amen. People like to think, Jesus was, he's probably healing birds and squirrels, when he was a little boy. No, he didn't do anything until he was 30. He didn't do anything until he was 30 because he didn't do anything until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, did he have great wisdom? Yeah, because he had no sin. Remember when he talked to all those teachers and preachers and Pharisees when he was 12 years old? They're like, whoa. But his parents came and got him and took him home and kept raising him, Now, don't do that again. Don't run off. I had to tell Jesus, don't run off. We didn't know where you were for 3 days. He didn't do any mighty works until he was 30 years old because he was baptized, then baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in water, but not to be born again. It was a Jewish tradition for preparation. Amen? And so he gets baptized, and then he is baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God begins the ministry. So as Jesus goes out, he is constantly praying to the Lord, to the Father. He's praying to his Father. He's hearing from his Father. That's what you're doing. Same thing. Jesus' example is our example, isn't it? Is that we're praying to the Father. We're spending time in his presence. How to live worry-free. Doesn't mean you don't have worries. It means the worries don't have you. Huh? How many have been that way? Don't raise your hand. It is where the worries have you. This is going to happen. Something happened bad and you're just convinced something worse is going to happen tomorrow. Well, maybe it will. That's fine. It doesn't affect you. A-F-F-E-C-T. Affect. Doesn't affect you. Doesn't move you. David says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So that's what he's doing. He's doing in you. He's keeping you. That will keep him in, again, Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, whoever you are, if your mind is stayed on him, because he trusteth in you, because you trust in him. God will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind on him because you trust in him. This is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Why is this happening to me? Don't even think about that. The devil wants to get you to thinking, I did this and so God's getting me. No, Now, you might have done that and it's kind of like you walked out in front of, it's like I didn't see that truck and bam, Well, did God do that? No. Could God have prevented it? Yeah. Did he? No. But was I paying attention? Probably not. Or don't step out in front of a bus. That'd be a good idea. There's a stop sign right there that says don't cross the road. We did that a lot in Washington. Cross the road. Don't do that. Bam. Little kiddos, don't put your hand on that stove. Right? Don't put your hand on that stove. We tell kids, don't put your hand on that stove. Why? I like it. And then all of a sudden, sizzle, sizzle, sizzle. you know. And you can't even get your hand up off the stove because it's sizzling, right? And then you're in big trouble. But God said, don't do that. There's a lot of things God says don't do. And if you do it, then you suffer consequences. It's not, God's not mad at you, it's just don't do that. Verse 4 here in Isaiah 26, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. Trust in Him, trust in the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord God, for the Lord is everlasting strength. All right. Isaiah 41:10. Here's how to stay out of fear and out of worry. What? You read the scriptures, right? Keep them always before you. I'll read the one you're always wondering if I'm going to read it again because it's always true. Not yet, though. Okay, Isaiah 41:10 says, fear you not. Don't fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So don't fear. I am with you. Don't fear, I'm with you. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 31, and same thing as over in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, for he will never leave you or forsake you. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. What he's quoting in Hebrews chapter 12, he said in Deuteronomy chapter 31. So to God's people, the people who trust in Him and believe His covenant and are part of His covenant. How many know you're a part of the covenant of God? You're part of God's covenant through Abraham. Abraham, I thought it was in Jesus. You are. But Jesus came through Abraham. Amen? He's out of the tribe of Judah, which is Abraham's great-grandson. Right? Of the 12 tribes. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. I'm going to help you in your daily walk. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. There's a lot of pages in this Bible. I guess you could get out your phone and get your phone Bible, just as long as you don't get off into Facebook or TikTok. Right? Amen. Now this particular passage is Paul is actually defending his apostleship. He's actually defending the fact that he is called of God to teach you these things. And what he's doing is here in this particular passage, he's talking about that as a preacher, and as a man of God, called of God to teach the word, and people are coming against you, he says, for though we, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now that applies to him saying, I'm not going to argue with you people. I'm just going to declare my case. For the weapons of our warfare, this is a parenthetical statement. He's defining what the weapons of his warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or imagined thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So somebody who is coming against him teaching about Jesus and the salvation by grace through faith. Because most of the folks who were coming against him because they were religious individuals talking about, here's what things you have to do to get saved. Here's what things you have to do to please God. And so they were coming against him in that way. So he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, he's talking about defending his apostleship, but also this same thought process, casting down imaginings, casting down vain thoughts, things that will come against you in all kinds of circumstances. Casting down vain thoughts. Anybody have vain thoughts? Things that just cause fear in your mind. Here comes something. Here comes something on the news. The news is a great example. You know, something on the news. You saw something on the news. Well, this is happening. So the even better example is you saw something on the internet. I mean, you know, people trying to get out of things that are on the news, they go to the internet. Holy cow. You know, it's even worse out there, you know, because they got all kinds of craziness out there, you know. You know, well, this, I heard this, some guy said this about this, you know. Well, yeah, you better do some research, you know, on anything you hear out there. Because, I mean, there's all kinds of people selling all kinds of things. You know? You ever seen those things where they start talking about this story or event or whatever or something went wrong, and all of a sudden you're sucked into it? It's like pages long, and all of a sudden you realize about halfway through it, this is malarkey. This is not even a story. What they're going to do at the end of this is they're going to try to sell me something. How many know the internet? You know, everybody's on the internet for one reason. They're going to sell you something. Praise the Lord. Just watch out. Okay? Just watch out. They want to sell you something. I mean, maybe it's, you know, I believe God gave it to me for you. But they want to sell it to you. So just take it easy. Don't jump on everything that's out there. But rather, go back to the Word of God. Listen. Go back to the Word of God. I'm going to start again from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, even so, this is how we are. We walk in our flesh. We have our flesh, body, person, and they have this mind that's somewhere split between the Word of God and our experience, right? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He's telling you how you walk in the world. For the weapons of our warfare as a believer are not carnal, worldly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, things that have us bound, things that have us deceived. Casting down imaginations, vain thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Analyze that thought. Bring that thought here. Look, come here. You know, I'm going to take a look at this thought that's held me captive. How many know thoughts will just get a hold of you and they'll just take you all day, right? Won't you get, anybody ever notice that? A thought will get you and you'll be all day looking at that thing, carrying it around, put it in your pocket, take it out of your pocket, look at it again. You have this thought that just bugging you all day about what could possibly happen, that the devil is on the move and he is going to get me. You know what? You've already got him. You've already got him. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is how to live worry-free. You know me, I usually don't give titles to messages, right? This is a good one. How to live worry-free. Casting down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought. How many thought? Every thought to the what? Obedience of Christ. Amen. Over in Philippians chapter 4, not too far over, turn right. Turn right in your Bible and go to Philippians chapter 4. You never think you're going to have enough to preach, and you got more than enough. Y'all know you have more than enough? Huh? Y'all got more than enough. Praise God. You're here with Pastor Jim for 40 years. You've got more than enough to bring into captivity every thought. Because the enemy is your enemy. He wants you to believe that you're supposed to perform. You're supposed to do something. Yeah. Should you flee sin? Yeah, flee it. But when you mess up, just say, Jesus, thank you that you forgive me. I confess that. Thank you that you forgive me. You're forgiven. How many know you're forgiven? From the get-go. Amen? From the moment you're forgiven anyway. Just receive it. Receive forgiveness. Don't ask and beg for it. Oh, God, forgive me. God has forgiven you through the blood of Jesus. Just receive that and keep walking. Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4. Let your moderation, your gentleness, actually, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, full of care. Anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all, I can't even know how this works, passes all understanding, shall, everybody say shall, keep your mind through Christ. It'll keep your mind. It'll keep your mind. Your mind will be kept, cared for, kept from foolish thoughts through Christ Jesus. Amen. And next verse, I didn't mention it. I didn't mention it, care to see it, but it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't think on the things that are the opposite. If there be any bad stuff, lousy stuff, ugly stuff, stupid stuff, you know, it didn't say think on those things. It says think on things that are godly, good, blessed, happy, peaceful, joyful, full of hope. Think on these things. He tells you how to think. God tells you how to think. Amen? Be anxious for, be full of anxiety about nothing. Well, I need some anti-anxiety medicine. Well, okay. You can get some of that. It's got some side effects to it. It'll mess you up. How about just get into the Word of God, read the Word of God, and let the Word of God manifest on you. A couple of other things here. Verse 4, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hope you're writing these down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. Listen to this. Boy, it's big. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in what kind? Earthen vessels. Just our bodies. Remember the ones that, you know, we run into all this stuff in the world. You know, all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of things. We learned how to live basically by experience. We got beat up, knocked down. You know, this is how you live in the world until you hear the Word of God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, here's the result of how you walk. Listen. We are troubled on every side. Sounds like what Jesus said. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So in other words, there are attacks on your mind, but you, like Jesus said, but be of good cheer, but you are not affected by it, like we said earlier. The effect of it on you is based on your amount of fellowship with the Lord and walking with Him and confidence that He is already taking care of that entire circumstance in which you find yourself, right? So whatever circumstance, listen, that you find yourself in, God is with you and He's walking with you. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to read that part again out of 2 Corinthians chapter verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. The word there is distressed. I like to say stressed, because everybody talks about their stress level. You know, well, I'm stressed. No, you're not. I am too. And are not. Are you a Christian? Are not. I'm stressed. Now, you can listen to you. You're talking like the world. Well, yeah, I'm just telling the truth. No, you're just telling, you're just believing the lie. I said, you're just believing the lie. Well, you gotta tell the truth before you can. Yeah, no. The truth is, we're troubled on every side. Yes, that's the truth. That's the reality. The trouble on every side. But the truth for you is, I'm not distressed. I'm perplexed. I don't know what's happening. What's going on around me? But I'm not in despair. So I'm not distressed. I'm not in despair. What else am I not? I'm not forsaken. And I'm not destroyed. All of these things, it looks like it, but it's not true. Because the enemy wants you to believe that this is you. That you're the first part of that verse. You know, the enemy wants you to believe you're distressed, in despair, persecuted, and cast down. That is what he wants you to believe. Live there. Live in that reality. I choose to live in the reality that I'm not distressed, not in despair. What else? I'm not forsaken, and I'm not destroyed. That's where I live. Amen? Are you living there? Come on. Live there. Come with me. I get messed up for a minute or a few. Talk to my children. They probably know me pretty well. Talk to Peggy. Peggy knows me pretty. Peggy knew me from Sunday school because I was very, 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 very young, and so was she. In fact, she had to kick me out of Sunday school because I was yapping too much. Must have been a preacher. And so, but, you know, I'm not in distress. Well, you're just built that way. No, it's God's Word. And God's promises, and that's what belongs to every one of us. Amen? That's what belongs to every one of you. Don't live under the enemy. All right? Praise the Lord. All right. So you remember the story about Jesus preaching and the fact that you either build your house on the rock or you build your house on sand. The rains came, the floods came, and beat against that house. And the one that was built on the sand fell. But the one that was built on the rock, which is Jesus, the promise, the one that's built on the rock stands. That's you. You're built on the rock. You're built on the Word. Get in the Word. Meditate upon the Word. Learn to hear the voice of God as you read the Word. Don't worry about the parts that you don't understand, like, you know, well, how come that is that? But let the Word of God wash over you. Over in Ephesians, it talks about the washing of water by the Word. The washing of water by the Word. His Word. He exalted His Word above His name. over in Psalm 138. He says he's exalted his word above his name. Why did he do that? Because his word, what? Reveals his name. So you want to read this word, you know, read it a little bit. Read it slow. I say read it slow. Don't read it fast. Don't try to get through it all. Just read it. And let the, and then just say, close it and say, Father, thank you for revealing to me your promise and your word. I trust you to lead me and to show me your goodness and your righteousness. Over in, and here's the scripture I promised to you, is Joshua 1:8. Is this book of the law, and it's not because it's the law, it's because it's the word of God. This book of the law shall not, it's the law which applies to you, that's his promise. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. We talked about meditation, right? Therein day and night. So whether you're reading it or just thinking about it, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord God, that you take worry and fear out of our daily life. We learn to walk in joy, rest, peace, perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So, Father, today I pray for everybody here that we will walk in this truth, knowing that those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are being transformed and changed into the image of the Holy One of Israel, into the image of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, just like in Isaiah 28. That, Father, we're being transformed, that we are believing the truth rather than a lie, and we are have the power of God to minister this truth to somebody else, to those whom we work with, those whom we go to school with, those whom we find in the grocery store, those who we, our family, who do not know you. We're not beating them up with a stick. We're in fact displaying the joy of the Lord. And they're like, how do you smile in the middle of all this? So we give you praise and we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen.